What are you running away from? That's one of three questions we'll ask ourselves today on The Balanced Word.
Whatever you're running from, you better make sure that what you're running from isn't what God is speaking to you. Because it's not that he's going to quit, because he's going to keep chasing you, and eventually he's going to catch up to you, and he's going to tell you the same thing that he told you before. You need to do this. And you're going to find out that what he's telling you to do is so that you'll be blessed. It's not so that, you know, he can rip you off. He doesn't need anything from any of us.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
This is The Balanced Word. Jonah is often associated exclusively with his adventure inside the stomach of a big fish. But there's so much more to Jonah than just a fish story. As a matter of fact, as we'll find out in today's message, Jonah was a lot like many Christians today. Firm in their belief, but a little shaky when it comes to following the Lord's will for their lives. Might that describe you? Many Christians are running from God's will, but it always leads to heartache and trouble. In any case, the life of Jonah and the consequences of his disobedience will serve as a lesson for us all. So join us and turn in your Bible to Jonah, as Pastor Dave Roth offers up three very relevant questions springing from this Bible story.
The lessons of this book, I mean, most of us are probably not going to run away from God and get on a ship and go somewhere and get thrown up and you know, get tossed out of ship, put in a whale, puked on the land, preach to millions of people, have them all get saved, and we're still mad about it. So it's like, how do we apply a story like this to our lives? The Jewish people really valued this book of Jonah. In fact, it says some important things that they needed to know. And this book was read every year on Yom Kippur, on the Day of Atonement, still is. Because it tells us some things that are important. Now, on the Day of Atonement, they're supposed to reflect on the way they've been living and then commit to living better in the future. Very similar to our concept of it's the end of one year and the beginning of another. New Year's, hey, maybe it's time that we started living our lives a little differently. And so this was a story that touched them in that respect. As far as applying it, I have three personal questions that I want to ask you. And I'm not expecting you to give me an answer. I'm expecting you, maybe sometime this week, to give yourself an answer. Because these are important, important questions, questions that I'm asking of myself, that this story just completely reminds me of. The first one is this. What are you running from? What are you running away from? For most of us, there are things that we know God has spoken to us. We know we should be doing something differently. And yet we, like Jonah, just go, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go just the opposite way. Now, these could be all sorts of things. Maybe God has called you to some kind of ministry. Maybe every time we announce an opportunity to go serve, something inside of you says, wow, it would be good for me to just take that time aside and go and make a contribution to somehow in the way that I could help some people. But you always feel guilty when an opportunity comes up, but you just don't do it. Maybe God has spoken to you about changing your career. Maybe he has talked to you about, you know, something as simple as eating better and exercising. Maybe there are messages that have been impressed upon your heart. Hey, you should be reading more. Hey, you should be writing. Hey, you should be singing. Hey, you should be whatever it is that you're running away from. A lot of people run away from people because you get burned by your friends. And so now it's like, I know I should have friends. I should feel like I ought to, but man, I just can't take that anymore. And so I'm making a beeline. I'm heading in the other direction. You know, maybe God has spoken to you about the importance of giving to him. And we're coming up at the end of a year and you look back and go, yeah, this was a year that I was running away from God. I didn't give him what he says I should give him. I certainly didn't give sacrificially to him. It was other stuff took its place. And every time somebody starts mentioning that, you get kind of nervous because you've been dodging the truth. You've been denying the fact that you're being disobedient to God. And you just don't want to do what you know that he's told you to do. So for every one of us, what are we running from? What are we doing to avoid doing something that he's made it really clear what he wants in our lives? There are some people who are so scared to death of having friends or being in a relationship or something like that, that they do everything in their everything possible to avoid it. Is that you? Are you running? And maybe you're somebody who's here today who's actually running from God. Every time you turn around, you're hearing something about God and you're like, well, excuse me that we're talking about God at church. I know that's uncomfortable for you, but that in your whole life, it's like, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to think about it. Maybe you've come up with some pat little thing that helps you deal with the fact that I don't believe in God. Maybe a guy being swallowed by a whale is enough. That you're like, I can't believe in a God who tells a story like that. Come on, I saw Pinocchio. It didn't happen really. It's just made up. And so that's your excuse for running from God. Whatever you're running from, you better make sure that what you're running from isn't what God is speaking to you. Because it's not that he's going to quit, because he's going to keep chasing you, and eventually he's going to catch up to you, and he's going to tell you the same thing that he told you before. You need to do this. And you're going to find out that what he's telling you to do is so that you'll be blessed. It's not so that, you know, he can rip you off. He doesn't need anything from any of us. But he wants to bless us, and there are ways to do that. It's like when he tells you to do something, do it. When you feel convicted about something, write it down and go, I'm going to start trying to do this. Maybe there's a habit that you know you should break. You just know it's not good. You're embarrassed about it, but you just don't do it. You're running away. Don't live like that. The second question that I have to ask you is, do you believe in second chances? Most of us appreciate having a second chance, but we're not so good giving someone else a second chance. But for many of us, we don't even believe in second chances at all. We think that the life that we have is the life that got the way it is because of things that we did that we shouldn't have done. I'm full of regrets, but it's over for me. There's no way that I still have a chance to have a good life. Maybe when I was younger, if I had really listened to God, you know, that would have been happy. Maybe if I had spent my money better, wiser, saved up, maybe if I had given to God all along, I could do it. But now I'm so much in debt, I can't even think about that. Maybe, you know, yeah, I used to have friends, but I burned them all, or they burned me, and it's all over, and now it's too late for me. Well, the thing that you just get over and over again, and it's probably one of the reasons why the Jews saw this as being relevant to the Day of Atonement, is every day is an opportunity for a second chance. I don't care what you've done, how far you've gone, you have not blown your last chance. Now, it could be that you have made mistakes with people to where now they won't give you that second chance. But God will give you a second chance. There's plenty of people in the world that you can be in relationship with, that you can be friends with. If you've burned your bridges with a bunch of people, don't focus your whole attention on getting back what you lost, but just realize God's mercies are new every morning. Life can start fresh. And once you begin to understand that, then you begin to show that to others. If I really understand how I've blown it, then I am going to be very patient with others, because it means not only that I get a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance, but I want to give that to others. I want to extend that kind of grace to other people. So again, the first question is, what are you running from? The second question is, do you believe in second chances? And here's the third question that I want you to ask yourself. Do you really understand the heart of God? And we've talked about this a lot because it's throughout the Bible. Jonah, he saw the heart of God. He's like, yeah, I know you. You're always gracious, but I hate that about you. He didn't see that God's heart needed to be transferred to his heart. So he's like, yeah, God will forgive anybody, but I won't. I will not do it. And in fact, I will ruin my own life. I would rather die. I would rather go back into the whale than to see God show mercy to people. That is God's heart. You don't know anything about God until you understand that he looks on the worst people in the world and his heart of compassion burns for them. He yearns to gather them to himself. He wants us. Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you killed the prophets. How I longed to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. That is God's heart. And if you can't live with that, find another God. Because most of the other gods are as angry as you are. But the God of heaven isn't. Now, here's what happens when we become followers of Jesus, when we become Christians. And I find for me that I will deteriorate until I'm reminded of his heart. Because here's what happens. Well, I was a really bad person. And then God saved me. And then I got rid of most of those really bad sins that I used to do. Whoopee, praise me. And I found other sins that aren't so bad. In fact, I share them with a lot of people and we all kind of agree, yeah, those sins aren't so bad. So now I think, boy, praise God. I am so much better than I used to be. I am so much better than these other people. And I become a Pharisee, and I begin to judge others and look down at others. I lose my compassion, and I become as a sociopath who's unable to feel for other people because I think I'm better than they are. And that is a disease, it's a sin, it comes from pride, and it causes us to forget our Father's heart, the heart that we so wanted for ourselves, that we embraced when we were saved, and yet somewhere along the line we lost it, and we're like, God, I just want you to destroy some people. I just want this to be, you know, you to hate everyone I hate. And so very often our fellowship becomes, you know, I get along with them because they hate the same people I hate. Praise the Lord. And God's like, I don't hate those people. I don't feel that way. I feel for them. See, you didn't make them. I did. And I look at even the people who are horrible and they're going to hell. They have kids. I want to love their kids. They have animals. I love their animals. For a lot of us, it's easier for us to have compassion on animals than it is people. In fact, there are a lot of studies that have been done that people that just love animals so much, it's because they've kind of given up on people. And they're like, yeah, animals. And there are people, let's face it, when you got married, you really thought that your spouse would be like a dog. That would just be like, so happy to see you, wagging their whole body. And you know, you got married and you found out, no, really not so much. If you really need that, get a spouse and a dog, okay? But you can get to the point where there are some people who don't even care about animals. They've gotten so far away. God loves animals. You can see it here. But he loves people too, even really sinful people, cares about them. And we can just lose sight of that because some of the best fellowship is when we get together with other people who hate like we do, who don't feel, who don't understand. It's why, you know, the internet is exploding with, and Christians are happy to like. Do you think God looks at people who are hurt and even who are mistaken, even who are flagrantly wrong, and it's driving them to behavior? Do you think God is liking your post that rips them? Or do you think just maybe God's heart is broken because they're that desperate, because their hearts are wounded that much? God doesn't really care, okay, who's right and who's wrong. He's like, I love them all. I'll end up sorting them all out. But when our heart starts looking more like Jonah, we become Christian sociopaths who just can't even understand how someone could do what they are doing. Be careful, because that is the path of a religious, judgmental hypocrite and legalist who has lost the heart of the God that they claim they serve. If that offends you, I am sorry. I want to have just as much compassion for judgmental, pharisaical people who are going to, you know, think that I'm saying something awful as I do for people who don't even know the gospel and have never heard. But again, the Day of Atonement was a day when we go, we are all sinners, man. It's been a bad year for us as far as obeying God, but we need to be forgiven. And we want to move forward and have the same heart that God has instead of our own evil, corrupt hearts that are just getting harder and more. You know, it used to feel like I was convicted when they would talk about things that God has told me that I don't do. But now it's like, it doesn't even bother me anymore. Whatever, he's just going off on his thing. You know, it's getting towards the end of the year, so he's going to say something about tithing or whatever. I don't care. It doesn't move me at all. Hey, do you know his heart at all? How can we say that we know him if we can so reject his heart? And his heart is shown by how much compassion do we feel for people who don't know him? Hey, maybe you felt like, yeah, I should probably talk to some people about Jesus sometime. I should probably go on one of those missions things. Maybe I should do some sort of outreach. Meh, busy. There's a big sale. I want to get in line. This is our kind of rioting. And, you know, are you putting yourself in a place where you run from him, where you don't think you need a second chance and you won't give anyone else a second chance? And have you deteriorated to the point where there's a part of your heart that's just grown cold? There's some things that you ought to be feeling that you just don't feel it anymore. You've seen enough pictures of starving children. Okay, fine. Get back to the show. Get this stupid World Vision commercial off. You know, and they put those on late at night when it's like, I just need to be entertained, not to be guilted. And wow, it's happening to us. And I'm telling you, I know for me, it happens. Unless I make sure that it doesn't happen, unless I remind myself constantly of his heart for me. Almost every one of us wants to be forgiven, but we don't want to forgive. We want grace for us and our friends, but we don't want grace for other people. That tells us where our heart is. This tells us where his heart is. And it's why we read and study the Bible. It's why we looked at this story today. I want to be reminded of his heart. I hope you do too. Now, if you're here today and you're like, I don't really believe this stuff. In fact, the story of a guy being swallowed by a whale is one of the reasons why I really don't follow God. What are you running from? I mean, you're living your life without God. He's chasing you. I know how it is. Everywhere you turn, there's something about God, and you like want to argue with him, and you think you're so smart because you've come up with a couple of trite little things that explain away God. Man, don't run away. What are you afraid of? Do you believe in second chances? Maybe you feel like it's too late for me. Man, the stuff I've done, I can't be forgiven. I can't come and humble myself before God because I've cursed him so many times. I've rejected him. I've told everyone how dumb they are for believing in him. It's too late for me. No second chance. In fact, maybe you've been hurt by church. Maybe people have done horrible things in church. It happens. The deepest hurts in my life have been from people who say they're Christians. So are you willing to give God a second chance? Or are you just going to go, nope, he blew it then. I'm over it. I'm done. Second chances, you need one. And sometimes you need to give God a second chance. And ultimately, I'm telling you, if you have rejected Jesus up until now, I have a pretty good idea of why. Because you looked at people who follow him, who say they are Christians, and you see in their heart nothing that you want in yours. But look past them to God. See his heart. His heart that sent his son to die for you. Not to preach at you, not to beat you over the head, not to guilt you, not to reject you. He wants to save you. Nobody has ever loved you like he loves you. Can you reject that heart? Man, I can't. Maybe for you, it's time to stop running and let him catch up to you. Maybe you've been thinking you're like running with God because, yeah, he's a man upstairs, he's back there, God and I have just been jogging. No, he's been chasing you. Maybe it's time to stop and give your life to him. Have your sins forgiven. Start over. That's what he's inviting you to do. It's never too late to get another chance with him to do life right. And I'm telling you, his heart is for you more than your mother's heart was, more than anyone else's heart has ever been, more than all those people in your life that you fooled into thinking that you're something that you aren't. He has a heart for you. He knows everything you think, everything you do, all of your failure, and he still just passionately wants to be in a relationship with you. Today is the day for you to make that decision. I hope you will. This could be the most important day of your life. So if you've never received Jesus really, for real, or maybe you did a long time ago, but you've been running for a long time, just get down here and start over. But for all of us, let's take those three questions. What am I running from? Do I believe in second chances? Do I have God's heart? And let's just kind of live with those over the next couple of weeks. See what God shows us and find out how easy it is to turn things around. He loves doing that.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. Hey, we have new service times here at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are now at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. We hope to see you sometime soon. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Wrapping things up in prayer, here's Pastor Dave once again.
God, thank you for your amazing grace that you found each of us when we really had nothing to offer. And you hit reset, started all over fresh with us. But for some of us, we've been running a lot. There are things that we don't want to hear. We get mad. We think about leaving church whenever they say something that touches the area where we are running. Help us to stop that. Help us, Lord, to realize, to believe that it's not too late for us to have another chance. And give us that heart transplant where we begin to care about people the way you do. That we embrace your love, even as we accepted it for ourselves, that we want to extend it to others. Heal us of our religious, judgmental, legalistic sociopathy. And help us instead to share that beautiful heart of yours. And for people who just need to lay it all on the line and to start their life over today, give them the courage to not run out the door and run away, but to come down here to get get right with you. Thank you, God, for your heart. That your heart drove you to forgive us, to give us limitless chances to turn to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wouldn't you like to experience peace on earth? Next time on The Balanced Word, we'll read of a time when peace is coming to this earth, in the millennial kingdom, as Pastor Dave Rolfe continues through the Bible and stories. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up. Early.